Do you have your Bibles with you? If you do, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, page 1212 in your King James Schofield Bible. And then keep something in this area, if you would, please, as we go through the message. We'll look at a few other verses. Our text verse is verse number 18 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's bow in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we've had in our service today. We thank you for the sweet fellowship and the good music. And I pray that our hearts are prepared now for the preaching of your word. I pray you'll bind Satan and keep him from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll keep the folks from thinking about activities they may have planned later today and concentrate solely on the preaching of your word. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden, and meet the needs of your people as what's been done and now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are lost. In another place, Paul says that the cross is offensive. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians and go to your right just a little bit to Galatians chapter 5. Just a couple of pages to your right, to your left, Galatians 5, page 1247. And look at verse number 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I detest all of these tattoos I see on ball players and other people today. Somewhere on their bodies, many of them have crosses in those tattoos. Now that's what I call offensive. But those crosses that athletes and others have tattooed on their arms are not offensive to most people today. One of the most popular pieces of jewelry that ladies and even men wear today are crosses, and no one's offended by them. We see crosses on many churches, and nobody seems to be offensive by them. So the expression, the offense of the cross, sounds kind of strange to us today. So what exactly is the offense of the cross? Are you still there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Look down at verse number 23. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. It is when we preach Christ who was crucified on an old rugged cross that is offensive, and it's a stumbling block to the Jewish world, and it's foolishness to all who are lost and unsaved. Keep your finger there and go way back in the Old Testament to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, page 760. Isaiah 53, the Holy Spirit gave to this great prophet Isaiah a picture of the coming Christ and his being crucified on a cross. And verse number 2 is a picture that one day of the Christ that's going to be dying on the cross for your sins and mine. Look at verse 2 of Isaiah 53. For he, speaking of Christ, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah said that there's no beauty that we should desire him. He says, look at the cross. Look at the blood that covers his entire body. Look at the crown of thorns on his head. It is not a thing of beauty. He is not a thing of beauty. He is not someone anyone would desire. There's nothing, absolutely nothing attractive about him. He is a horrible-looking, dying human being that no other human being would ever desire. Christ is not always attractive to the human heart. And many people are offended and turn away from him and his salvation. So the cross has come down through the centuries, passing its unfailing judgment upon the vanities, the prides, the hates, the greeds, and the self-indulgent pleasure of and lusts of people. It condemns them. The cross says to the world, you are sinners, and the world don't want to hear that. The Bible says that people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We don't want the light to shine on them. The cross throws a great searchlight on the evil of the world, and we don't like that. We don't want the searchlight of the cross coming into our hearts and showing us you are guilty. You are guilty before God. The cross is an offense because blood was shed there. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Blood has to be shed. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood runs through our veins, and that's what keeps us alive. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Christ shed his blood on the cross for our sins, and the result was his death. Go back in the New Testament again with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, please. That'll be on page 1194. Romans chapter 3. 1195 is the actual page number. Verse 25, Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The word propitiation means covering. God can take the blood of Christ and cover all of our sins. When the Israelites shed the lamb's blood in the long ago, they were to take some of that blood and apply it to the lintel and on the side posts of their houses. Then when the death angel came through in judgment, the Lord saw the blood and passed over the houses where the blood was applied. So this morning, very briefly, I want us to look at some of the things about the blood. First of all, the blood of Christ is the blood of redemption. Go with me to Revelation, last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, page 1335 in your King James Scofield Bible. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse number 9 with me, please. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Think of it, dear little folks. Out of every nation, every kindred, every people, all the people in the world, all of those who have come to Jesus Christ for salvation has come by the way of the blood, because there's no other way to come to Christ. Then next, the blood of Christ is the blood of forgiveness. If Jesus Christ had not shed his blood on the cross, there would be no forgiveness of our sins. Go back up from the left to Revelation to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And you'll find that on page number 1300, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse number 22. Actually, it's page 1299. 1299. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. So without the shedding of blood, of Christ's blood on that cross, we would all die and go to judgment and to hell. But because Christ died and shed his precious blood, God can and does forgive us. He says, I forgive you, I justify you, I place you in my sight as though you had never committed one single sin. We are just as innocent before God under the blood of Christ as Adam and Eve were under the fall. Then next, the blood of Christ is the blood of reconciliation. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2, little book of Ephesians, the second chapter, and look with me at verse number 13. Ephesians 2, verse 13, that'll be on page 1251. 1251, Ephesians 2, verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Sin separates us from God. We are separated from God prior to salvation. That is what hell is. It's being separated from God. If there is literal fire in hell, and I believe that there is, that's not the worst part of hell. The worst part of hell will be when one day God summons before him at the great white throne judgment all of the Christ rejectors, all the Christ deniers, all of those who are lost. And he's going to judge them. And he's going to, after he finishes judgment, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And all of those lost people of all the ages will stand there and hear him say those words, and they will look up at him and see him, see Christ in all of his beauty and in all of his glory and all of his magnificence, and they will be taken away never to see the glory of Christ again. And that's the worst part of hell, is being separated from God, never ever seeing his beauty again. Think of being separated forever from God, from all that's good and all that's right and all that's clean and all that's wholesome, from all that God is. That's what the scripture means when it talks about hell. But when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, God provided reconciliation for us. Then next, the blood of Christ purifies, justifies us all. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. The shed blood of Christ provides justification for all of us. That's on page number 1197, Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justification means simply just as if I'd never sinned. That ought to make a Baptist get excited and shout. Because of Christ's shed blood on the cross and because I have received him as my own personal Lord and Savior, I stand before you folks this morning as clean and as pure as the driven snow. Now that would be impossible for me to say if it were not my beloved Savior dying in my place and shedding his precious blood on that cross some 2,000 years ago. Then next, the blood of Christ is the blood of peace. For this, go to Colossians chapter number 1, Colossians chapter number 1, and look with me at verse number 20. Colossians chapter 1, that's on page number 1263, 1263, Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 20, please. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. If you want true peace in a world where there is no peace, then go to the cross. And one day this Prince of Peace is going to return to this earth and he's going to set up his earthly kingdom. All I can cry out this morning is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Then the blood of Christ allows us to come into his very presence. For this, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You'll find that on page number 1300. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse number 19, Hebrews 10, 19, page 1300. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Because of Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross, we can come boldly into the holiest of places and we can meet with God. Then next, the blood of Christ is the blood of cleansing. Go over to your right just a few pages and stop at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And look at verse number 7 with me. 1 John 1 and verse 7, page 1321. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That means from now on, after your salvation, when you sin, and you will, if you confess that sin and repent of that sin, the blood will continually cleanse. Without that blood, the sin would be held accountable to us. But thank God Jesus died on the cross for us. Amen. Dear folks, the life that we can now live here on this earth with joy and peace and satisfaction and meaning is brought about because some 2,000 years ago, the Son of God and God the Son died on an old rugged cross. Now, what's our obligation to all of this? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew, the 16th chapter, page number 1022 in your Scofield Bible. Matthew chapter 16. And look with me or listen carefully to verse number 24. Matthew 16, verse 24, our Lord is speaking. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ demands that we live a life of self-crucifixion. We are to crucify our selfish desires. We're to crucify the lusts and the greeds and the hates and the jealousy. All of these kinds of things that all is in all of our lives. We must give up what the cross condemns. We must look out into our world today. And when we do, we see hunger, we see poverty, we see social injustice. But our hearts cry out. But we refuse to take up our cross and follow Jesus, so we don't do anything about it. We don't say anything about it. We don't give of our time and our talents and our treasure to at least try to do something. Jesus said we must bear the cross. When we're at school, when we're at work, when we're at home, wherever we are, we're to take a stand for Christ. Even if it means people laughing at us, even if it means losing friends and family, even if we are persecuted, that is our cross. Our cross is not some disease we may get. Our cross is not some automobile accident that we may have. Our cross is not some bad things that may happen to us or a member of our family. Our cross is to identify with Christ and take a stand for Him. Many of us want the blessings of Christianity without accepting the toil and the sacrifice that are involved. The offense of the cross often reaches a point of opposition. If you're still there in Matthew, go to the 10th chapter, please. The 10th chapter of Matthew. That'll be on page 1010. Matthew chapter 10. And our Lord is speaking in verse number 36. Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Sometimes it's a husband. Sometimes it's a wife. Sometimes it's kids. After my salvation in 1962, the first person I wanted to see saved after that was my wife. I wanted her to be saved. And so I began to witness to her. And I'm sure I was somewhat obnoxious at times. But I wanted her saved. I would do anything to get her saved. So I kept witnessing and witnessing and witnessing. And one day she said to me, "I don't know what's happened to you, but I wish it had never happened." And I kept on witnessing. And 2.5 years after I was saved, she finally found out what had happened to me because it had happened to her. That's what prayer does. I don't know if you've kept up on this pastor over in, I think it's Afghanistan or one of the Muslim countries, that they're going to put to death if they haven't already because he will not denounce Christ. They've given him an ultimatum. You either denounce Christ as your Lord and Savior or we will put you to death. Could that happen to us one day here in America? Absolutely it could. So let's you and me, while we can, let's you and me stand tall and true to Christ. No matter what your sufferings, stand up and be accounted for. It's not popular. It's not pleasant for the old self to die. But that's the road of the Christ-like. No more I, but Christ. Then lastly, the cross of Christ is offensive because it is the power of God unto salvation. Go with me over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, page number 1192. 1192, Romans chapter 1. And look at verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If I preach like many preachers preach today, and preach on every subject in the world but leave out the cross, I would never offend anyone. But let me or any other preacher stand at the pulpit and preach the cross of Jesus Christ, and many get offended if they are still in a lost condition. The offense of the cross arises chiefly out of this fact. The cross condemns every other way of salvation. Jesus said there's only one way, there's only one road, there's only one gate, and He is all of them. Amen. That is the way of the cross. Two more verses in Matthew 7. If you'll turn there with me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verses number 13 and 14, page 1004. Page 1004. Matthew chapter 7, again our Lord is speaking, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the great gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you have found it, you ought to fall on your knees and thank God this morning. And if you haven't found it, then there's still time left for you. But time is running out. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. How many times in the message, this brief message this morning, have we heard about the blood that was shed on the cross? Many, many things happened because of that blood that was shed. And I thank you, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Many churches have taken the blood out of their Bibles and taken the blood out of their hymnals. But we're going to stand true in keeping the blood where it should be. Thank you for that precious blood. Now, Father, my heart's burdened that there might be some in this crowd today that they're not on their way to heaven. They've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They've never trusted him and him alone for salvation. And I pray that they will not leave this building until they do so. I pray you'd bless the invitation. And I pray that folks will make decisions this morning that 100 years from today, they'll be glad they made. So bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.